Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, The Bird Show.
I totally missed the opportunity at a really great tease coming into this break, so I'm going to do it now, okay? A crisis of faith. Next on The Bird Show.
That was your big tease?
It's not that big.
It's not that big. It's kind of mediocre.
Yeah, you can bet it in that.
What you actually need is that voice disguiser that Kristen had yesterday, where it has like the booming voice where it's like, oh, this season on A Crisis of Faith.
On The Bird Show.
On The Bird Show.
Speaking of which, real quick, Kristen's not on the show today because she had the Gracie's last night. And she's out in L.A., so she would have gotten 6 minutes of sleep. So she's off today, and she'll tell us all about it tomorrow. All right, so tell us about this crisis of faith.
Yeah, so after watching The Secret Life of Mormon Wives, I was like, I don't know if I believe in God anymore. No, I'm just kidding. After years of being a Bible-thumping Christian, I've just started to start critically thinking about why I believe and all of these existential questions that I think everybody really asks themselves about, like, you know, if this is how I'm going to live my life and if I'm going to have these beliefs, what do I have to back it up? And I just started to really wonder if I had actual, I think evidence is the wrong word, but just started to feel like maybe the reasons I was believing weren't actually as credible as I needed them to be as an adult. I just started to really start poking holes in the story, if you will, and just, I don't know, I'm really trying to do a deep dive so that when I move forward with whether I'm going to believe or not believe, I can stand firmly on knowing that I'm making the right decision for me. So I've started doing this thing where I've decided to start talking to God again, because that's probably something you should do if you want to hear him talk back. And I was going to do this thing where every single day for 40 days I was going to talk to him. I started getting scared, so I started making it like every other day.
Why are you scared?
Talking to God's really intimidating.
What?
And there are so many other more fun things to do, like watch reality TV.
I don't think he's going to like that.
No, he's not.
No. That you picked Mormon Wives over him. It's not going to go very well. So when you're writing your journal and you're saying like, oh my God, this is really scary, is it just because it's making you do like an internal, what's the word I'm looking for?
Internal
check of what's going on in your life?
Yeah, I just don't want to sit with really uncomfortable feelings. I'm a big number. I just would rather, sorry, I'm burping, not crying. sorry, I realized what that sounded like. She's like, oh, she's getting so emotional.
Some days you can't tell.
Yeah, that sounds like really a good bird show game.
Am I burping or crying?
So I think it's kind of like the same reason why some people get really anxious about going to therapy. Like there's a lot of things that you have to consider about your life, and there's a lot of questions you have to ask yourself, and that sometimes is going to bring up stuff that, quite frankly, on like a Thursday night, I don't want to think about.
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing by doing it now, because the analogy to therapy is like, I've always felt like you can hide from yourself for a week or for a month, or you can hide from your past or what happened to you in your past for a year or 10 years, but at some point or another, you are always going to come back to your authentic self. So you can put it off for as long as you want, but you're going to have to face it sometimes.
Yeah, and I think your 20s are the perfect time and the time you should be doing a lot of self-exploration and defining who you are, so that, you know, when your personality freezes over at 30, you can live your life the rest of the way as it should be. And so I decided, in realizing that I was scared to start kind of doing a big deep dive on this introspective part of my faith and just poking holes and stuff, mm-hmm. I was like, why don't I just go back to why I started this? And that's trying to find reasons in my life to believe that Christianity is what I believe. And I think a lot of those reasons have to do with like the evidence that you see in your own life. And I remember last time I brought this up, I'm burping, not crying again. I really shouldn't have had yogurt before this break.
This is God's will right there, man.
God's like, shut up.
Uh-huh.
You're not representing me well. You had brought up like how things in your life are signs or gifts and that you attribute those to God. And I was like, for sure, like I've definitely attributed those things to God in my life before. But at some point, like if you start to feel like your faith and your life become incongruent, how can I really say that this gift, quote unquote, is from God? Like maybe this is just life. You know what I mean? And some people aren't getting these gifts. So why is God not gifting them? That's kind of an a-hole thing to do.
Yeah. Gosh, I want to stay away from that sentence. I guess my point to you when I said that was like, I really am just at a point in my life where I feel like it's all kind of a gift. And I just really feel like I have a lot of faith in that whatever is happening in my life, God has put me in the perfect position for it. This is where he wants me. I don't question it. I know it's hard, but this is where I'm supposed to be at this certain time.
I have struggled with that thought of like, why do certain people have certain things, other people don't? But at the same time, I do believe in this wholeheartedly that you are what you believe you are and you will accomplish what you believe you will accomplish. And I think you have to consider that God can't do it all. And there's a lot of people who may have more if they believed that they could have more. Mm-hmm. But everybody just has different beliefs and different mindsets of what is possible for them and for each individual. So sometimes I wonder, I don't know if it's a punishment that certain people don't have certain things, but maybe they just don't manufacture it or will it into their life. And I don't think that's necessarily God's fault.
Yeah. Well, I guess I think of like the really extreme examples. Like I think everyone starts to think about like starving kids in third world countries. I'm like, you know, they don't can't really do anything for themselves. And so like, does God not love them enough to like get them out of that situation? So I think I've just, a lot of my belief in God is kind of like, well, everything has kind of worked out for me. I'm like, well, these are all gifts, but I'm like, have they worked out for me because, you know, I was born into the right family and the right socioeconomic status with the right genes to be able to be capable of working and being creative. You know, I'm just kind of trying to figure out what I attribute to God and what do I attribute to just like circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to just start keeping a page in this journal, the Book of Existential Crisis, of just things that I'm noticing that I'm hoping as I continue this journey of being really insightful with my faith, I'm hoping at some point I will be able to attribute these to God again. Like I really don't want to have to run away from my faith, but I, at the same time, like I want to really feel like I'm firmly in that belief if I'm going to call myself a Christian and live my life that way. And so I started noticing some things in my life currently, and I started taking inventory of the things that I've remembered that I've always attributed to as signs from God. And actually, weirdly enough, something happened over the weekend while I was texting my mom. And this is one of those things that 3 years ago, I would have been like, that's God, or that's a sign from heaven that the other side, if you will, is trying to communicate with me. And I was texting with my mom and I looked outside my window, and I live on a pretty high floor in an apartment, and I noticed a red cardinal outside my apartment. And I was like, oh, I don't personally attribute cardinals to anybody in my life other than my mom's mom who passed away a couple of years ago. I feel like everyone has that person that they think they see through red cardinals. And so I always thought it was a beautiful symbol, but I'm like, I don't really know if that's like actually somebody coming to visit you from the other side in the form of a red cardinal. But I see this red cardinal outside my window and I'm texting my mom and I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because the only person who talks to me about red cardinals is my mom about her mom. And I look at the time just because I was just curious. I'm like, I wonder if this means something. And the time was 12:24 PM. So 12:24. And I'm like, you know whose birthday was 12:24? My mom's mom. And I text my mom immediately. I'm like, you'll never guess what just happened. And I'm like, I just saw a cardinal and it happens to be 12:24. Like, that's so crazy and weird. And I'm like, maybe I'm just like, you know, tying things together that don't need to be tied together. But I'm in the stage of my life where like, I'm looking for signs. I'm like, someone tell me if there's something out there. There was a moment where I got off the phone with my mom and the numbers were 444, and that's our family number. And those are also angel numbers. And I'm like, okay, maybe that means something. And, I was talking to God kind of just in my own head last week, and I was just sort of getting frustrated, and I was looking for this journal because I was trying to, you know, find some time to sit down and actually ask some questions. And I found an old journal that I'd had from my church going days a while back that had been like thrown under my bed. And I open it up and it opened up to a page from a couple of months ago that I didn't even remember writing in. I didn't even remember having this conversation with God, but I guess I had grabbed that journal and started asking him questions about getting a sign for a certain move in my life that I wanted to make. And I was like, I need a clear sign as to whether or not I should do this or not. And I had gotten a clear sign whether or not to do that thing or not. And I was like, wow, I totally didn't even take inventory of that. And I had gotten such a clear sign and direction as to what I was supposed to do, and I just dismissed it. And so I think what I'm trying to say here with all of this is that I think maybe a lot of my faith has been dwindling because I've stopped paying attention and I've stopped trying to make these, I've stopped trying to make these connections in relation to God. So I think a lot of this has been a really good step forward in just trying to, at the very least, notice that there is something greater out there, whether or not that's God or not. And I think I've always had that belief, but I think just writing these down have really restored my faith that at the very least, somebody is out there looking out for me.
So does this make you want to start going to church again more? Or when you're coming to this conclusion, how do you move forward with that relationship?
I think it's a more of a comforting sign that I'm moving in the right direction and that I'm talking and someone's listening.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. So
would there be one thing that could happen where you would definitively would say, okay, there it is?
I don't know. And maybe I think that's wrong to like draw that up in my head as to how I think it should happen. Cause I think if I am going to get some big, great sign from the universe that I think everybody in their life has asked for, I think having those expectations would just set me up for disappointment. And I think I would assume that it was just like confirmation bias if it happened.
I will say this. I think the last time we had this conversation, I said something to you about sometime I felt like when I wasn't hearing from God, it was me. Like I was the one who was being distant and I wasn't the one who was looking for it. And I do remember a pastor telling me, if you really want to hear or know if God is talking to you, ask for the sign and look for it in threes. That's what he told me. So if you get a sign in threes, that can't be anything but God. And you just said, you mentioned three signs. Oh. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Breaking news, God is real.
The Burt Show.
There is so much authentic anxiety in this studio right now that you can cut it with a knife. I'm not exactly sure how to even get into this, Jackson. So I'm just going to trust you with this, man.
Yeah, okay. I'm freaking out a little bit here.
I couldn't tell.
No. Do I look calm?
You look perfectly fine, my brother.
It's the pit stains for me.
Is it hot in here?
This is not like man made for radio. He walked in here and he's like doing deep breathing exercises. Like, you know, when you're going to dive into a cold pool and you try to talk yourself into it, here's where we are.
Yeah, I'm definitely pretty nervous about this. So I finally put my money where my mouth is. I've been talking a lot in the past about potentially altering my body in some way. And what I mean by that is getting a tattoo.
Oh, I thought you were going to say facelift. I was like, it's about time.
Okay. All right. Speak for yourself. And
so why is that such a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal because my parents aren't the most tattoo positive people.
Tattoo positive is what we're calling it. Okay.
That's one way to put it.
So I got one during the youth group's St. Patrick's Day shenanigans for part of the challenge where I got a little rat on my hip because I was born in the year of the rat. It's in a very small place. And when I told my mom about that, she definitely was bummed, but it's small. It's really hidden. And, you know, we left it at that. But I've come on here and talked time after time after time about really trying to get something done and wanting to get something. Mm-hmm. And so I finally put my money where my mouth is and decided to get one. And I got it done this past weekend. And my parents have no idea. And I figured content over everything. So why not share this news with my mother and get her reaction live on air today?
My man, job security right here.
Yes, what a horrible idea. We love it.
When you are ripping your family apart, that is good for the Burt Show.
Yeah.
So you've talked a lot about how your mom is kind of anti this whole thing. How's your dad feel about it?
My dad is a little bit more okay with it, but he always just wants it to be a little bit more hidden. My parents are a little bit more traditional and old school in this sense. They still kind of see tattoos as like something where no one's going to hire you. You know, it has that kind of you know, connotation to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's their concern and their fear. Like they're worried. And also that this is going to turn into, once you get one, then you're going to get a million. And the next thing you know, your entire body's covered.
Well, I mean, you're heading in that direction. Yeah. I mean, as far as the job interview or getting, it's not like it's on your face like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, not yet.
Yes.
Not yet. And so I think Tommy's going to be calling my mother and we're going to get her on and I'm going to share this with you guys. And I've also sent you guys an email. So I think it'll be good maybe for you guys to look at this and maybe react a little bit before she reacts to it, so then she kind of has an idea. Does that make sense?
So you want us to open the email now, or you want us to wait?
So I sent you guys an email. It has the picture in it, and I think you guys should open it.
Okay.
So this is a picture of you.
Whoa.
Wow.
All right.
This is you?
This is me. Ignore the farmer stand, please.
Who is that man?
That is pretty intricate. Okay, why don't you explain, rather than us explaining to the listeners, why don't you explain to your mom when we get her on exactly what you had done? By the way, how long did that whole thing take?
This took 7 hours.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I went through it straight. I took 1 8-minute break in the middle of it. And let me tell you, it hurt like no other. It was a long and grueling process.
I don't know who your tattoo artist is, but they are very good. This is Fine Line?
This is Fine Line Tattoo. Yeah. Actually, Amanda follows this artist on Instagram, I noticed.
Oh, we probably got our tattoos with her.
There's a very good chance. Okay. But she's actually pretty new to Atlanta. Her shop is pretty new, and so this is all
okay.
It's like a golf swing and
he's gonna explain it to his mom.
You gonna explain it? Okay,
gotcha. So is my mom on? Do we have her here?
No, we're calling.
Okay,
I want you to sweat every digit I dial.
Mo, you got some tattoos. That's a nice piece. That's good artwork.
That's a really nice piece of work.
Yeah, thanks. You guys like it, right? It's pretty cool.
No, it's dope. 7 hours.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it was.
Hello?
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Jackson? Mom. This is Jackson.
I think legally we're supposed to tell you that we're on the air right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God, Jackson.
Yeah, when's the last time Jackson called you on the air with good news?
Number one, he doesn't call me, period.
Here we go.
Oh, okay. All right. We can talk about it.
And number two, certainly not at this time of the day.
Well, good morning, Mom. You look beautiful today.
You can't see her.
She's giving. I can sense her presence. You woke up on the right side of the bed. You look gorgeous. I can't wait to have lunch with you later this afternoon. How you feeling? How you doing?
Oh, my God. What did you do?
Okay.
There's something that you've done.
Okay, I have some news.
She's already hit the two mom cliches right off the bat. When you call, they guilt you for not calling enough. And the second thing is, what have you done? What have you done?
So remember how I've been talking a lot about maybe getting a tattoo one of these days?
Oh, my gosh.
So I got one done.
Jackson, you just got one done.
Yeah, but
in Savannah for your shenanigan thing.
Yes, I did. But that one was like a fun, silly joke one that's on my hip. This one means a whole lot more to me. And I spent a lot of time with the artist planning this out. And I got it done on Sunday. And I'm about to send you a picture of what it looks like. Are you ready for that?
I was about to say, I mean, I just saw you on Saturday at the Atlanta United game.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything.
Well, he was probably wearing pants.
Well, I got this done on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Life comes at you fast.
Before she sees it, the length of it is how long?
Oh, yeah. See, this is the part that you're probably going to be bummed out the most with is the size of it. It is not small.
What was how big was your first one that you got?
The first one's probably 2.5 inches.
How many times bigger is this one, Jackson?
Like 10 times bigger.
What?
Maybe more.
What?
Can I take a couple inches?
We don't need that.
That was heavy.
Okay, so I'm telling you, I love it personally, okay? And it's already on my body, so no matter what happens, you're still going to love me. I'm still your son, and we're going to move on, and we're going to move forward, and you're going to forget all about it, okay? So I'm going to send you.
He's got this all planned out.
Okay?
Oh, my God.
There's no going back. This isn't pre-planning. This is already done. This is what is currently on my body, okay? So I'm sending you the picture right now.
You may not want to hang out with him at the pool.
Oh, Tommy.
We're about to find out just how expendable her love is.
Thanks.
Okay, I just sent it. It says delivered.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Is that your thigh?
That's my thigh. Ignore the farmer stand.
You're really pale.
It's going almost to your knee. Jackson, that's huge.
Oh, my God.
But it's really cool, isn't it?
Jackson.
It's really cool. And there's, like, all this meaning behind it. Like, I added some sentimental things. I've got plans to put Mom in there at some point.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Nice save. Nice save.
That a boy.
Why would you do... Actually, it's really... Well done.
Yeah. 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 Come on, Mom. Let's go.
Jackson, why don't you explain for everybody? It would take us a long time to explain the complexity of the whole thing, but can you sort of try to do it like within like 60 seconds?
Yeah, absolutely. It's super complex, and I'll make sure to post the picture of it online with the video when that's published. But it's a fine line tattoo. The meat of it is a golfer's swing with some spirals on the outside that kind of resemble the Fibonacci sequence, if you're familiar with that, which is sort of like the golf ratio.
Just read about it. Yeah, sure.
Did you hear our GED scores the other day?
Then there's some DNA that's kind of coming off the top of it, which goes into sort of these big life sort of milestones of mine, which are largely career centered. So there's a book for when I was a student. There's some stock candlesticks for when you're reading stock charts. There's a piece of sushi, fitting. I ran a sushi company for a little while. And there's a microphone for my time here on the show.
It's all done really well. What's the tattoo artist's name? She or he should get some.
Absolutely. So huge shout out to Zay Tattoos on Instagram. Go check out her work. She's brand new to Georgia. She just moved from New York. Her work is phenomenal out of Zone of Ink Tattoos in Johns Creek. And so they did a really good job.
It's really good. All right, Mom. So how are we feeling about it?
Jackson, I'm not happy about this. It's just so big. It's just so big.
So let's talk about it here for a second. From parent to parent here, okay? What is our concern about the tattoo? And it's already done. So what are we stressing about here?
Because it's everybody can see it. And I wish he had done it somewhere on his back or where he's going to wear a shirt, maybe. But... Right. Nowadays, Jackson, you've been wearing shorts that are shorter than normal.
All right, so let's stop there for just one second. So, yes, it's big and people are going to be able to see it. What is the concern when people see it for you?
I guess I shouldn't be concerned about that. Okay, so Bert, I am going to try to be supportive of my son who has an affinity for tattoos. I personally just did not want any permanent fixture on his body. Wait till your grandma sees this.
We got to call Nana next.
She broke up grandma,
it's
man.
Good news that her English is really bad.
Well, her reaction will show it all, Jackson.
Yeah, she's going to try to wipe it off. That's what she's going to do. And I also think one of her big concerns is twofold. One, my mom used to work as a nurse in a plastic surgeon's office, and a lot of people regretted their tattoos. So, of course, she doesn't want me to regret it. And then two... Yeah. My younger sister tends to follow things and trend with what I do, and I think she's a little bit worried that I might have opened the door for that as well.
Oh, yeah. Are those any of your concerns, or is Jackson making that up?
Absolutely. No, he is. Well, he knows me better than I know myself, because those are the concerns.
Okay.
And I don't know. And you're just marking up your body, and I don't know. I feel bad for saying that because of all the other people who have tattoos and who love it. However, for me, it's not my thing. And I know it's Jackson's body, and he can do whatever he wants, and that's why I'm trying to be supportive, and I will get over it.
Here's the thing, Mom. Like, I don't regret it, and even if I do end up getting to a point where I do, that is totally on me. As far as whatever Leah or, you know, my little sister does, that can't be put on me. That's out of my control. But this is something that I chose, and I really, really do like it. It was really professionally well done, and I'm actually very excited about it.
What percentage?
Well, I just thought that also, since you got the rat tattoo, I thought maybe I was safe for several years. obviously not. Actually, Jackson, it is a cool tattoo. I have to give you that. It really is.
Okay.
It's very, very well done.
Okay.
I'm taking that as a big win.
They should.
Just curious. What's the percentage of less love you have for him right now? Like, is it? Are we talking about 10%? You think it's 20%? What is it?
Okay, maybe 2%.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And what percentage less respect do you have?
No, it's not a respect thing for me either. It's just the marking of your body that I don't like. Yeah.
Well, the good news is it does look great, because I'm sure we could have come on here and it could have been terrible. And then I'd be like, your mom's right. But it looks good, man. It looks good.
I'm super excited about it. All right. Thanks, Mom. I love you so much. I can't wait to take you out to lunch later
with pants on.
The Bird Show. Q99.7 and The Bird Show. 100 days of good goes round.
I'm really excited about this, you guys. For the next 100 days, or when we start this, for 100 straight days, what I really want to do with The Bird Show and you guys is help you out in any way you guys need. Let your mind go kind of crazy here. It could be big ways. It could be small ways. Maybe you need a little cash for something. Maybe you're not exactly sure how you're going to make it through the month as far as grocery goes. Maybe there's a relative you haven't seen in a long time and you would love to see them or have us fly them in. It could be small ways too. It could be anything.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of reminds me of like what we do with Bert's Big Adventure, when we just like bring somebody a meal when they're having a bad day at the hospital. I mean, this could be literally anything. Having lunch with you if you're just feeling a little lonely recently. We'll come hang out with you, bring you some coffee, a little lunch, get a sweet treat or two.
I remember the last time we did this, we something similar. We did everything from coming out to supporting events to bringing roses to your side at work to even helping kill a spider in your home. Whatever you need.
Don't put that out there. I ain't killing no bugs in your home.
It really could be anything you want. I just think that we're looking to help out in any way we can, right? And we're going to do this for 100 straight days. So you could call up and go, hey, I could really use Abby's help because I know that she loves cats and I need some help with my cat today. Abby's going to cruise on by and help you with your cat.
Hey, I'll scoop your litter, maybe.
So you try to figure out what it is you need from us. You tell us, and then for 100 straight days, one of us or all of us will come out and do whatever you want. All right. So you just got to hit us up and tell us exactly what you need. And we're going to start it here when we get back from vacation. So you can start thinking about it now and hit us up now at thebirdshow.com. All right, Abby. So you feel like you've reached a new peak in Atlanta.
Uh-huh. I'm officially famous because I got special treatment at a very fancy place in Atlanta, or at least I think I got special treatment. Maybe I'm just reading too much into this. So my best friend from college and her boyfriend were in town, and there's been this one restaurant we've really, really wanted to go to because it's really big on Instagram. It's the Garden Room at the St. Regis. Mm. Have y'all seen photos?
No.
Oh my God, it looks like a magical fairy forest in there. It's got like lit up candles, and it feels like you're in a greenhouse, and there's foliage everywhere, and it's very like pink and girly.
Nice. So I was at the St. Regis, and that's just not my vibe, to be honest with you, but I just happened to be invited to a lunch there when they were talking about building that thing, and it looked exquisite.
It
looked beautiful.
It's so stunning. Honestly, the food was pretty good too, but like the service was great. Like we had mentioned that we were a little cold, and then they like 5 minutes later brought me and my best friend these literal pashminas, so we didn't have to shiver in the restaurant. It was great. But before we had gone out to the restaurant, I told them what a vibe the St. Regis bar is, because it really is fun. Like you think it's going to be like this super like stuffy, stuck up old man bar where they're just drinking like whiskey and smoking cigars. But the St. Regis bar on like a Friday or Saturday is kind of a vibe. They got a DJ. There's lots of people. Sometimes people are watching the game.
Really?
There's out of towners. It's really, really fun.
I am surprised by that.
Granted, it's a little expensive, if you're going and you're going to put it on your best friend's boyfriend's tab, then, you know, it's not too bad of a time. So I was a little bit nervous about the time that we were showing up, because typically I like to get there just early enough to where you can secure a bar seat so you can sit and mingle with all the other rich people at the bar and kind of get to know, like, why they're there. Are they on vacation? Are they cheating on their wife here? It's like a really fun time.
Everybody's got a story.
So we got there a little bit late, and as we're pulling up, I can see that there's, like, people rolling in and out. I'm like, oh, my God, we're not going to be able to get a seat at the bar. What are we going to do? And I'm kind of like, I'm a little upset in this moment, but we pull up to the host and he checks our IDs, obviously, because I still look 12, even though I have my full face of makeup on. And he gets kind of like this little twinkle in his eye and he goes, I have just the seat for y'all. I'm like, well, we were just hoping to get in. Like, I thought we were going to be standing in the back corner, like twiddling our thumbs, but whatever. And so he grabs us all and, you know, pulls us into the main section of the bar. And there's kind of two different rooms at the St. Regis. So there's one where there's a bar and that's typically where the DJ is and lots of tables. And then there's a front room where it's more lounge seating, like it's tables and couches, and it feels a little bit more intimate. And there's this massive screen where people are watching a game in there. And he, I kid you not, rolls up to the lounge seating that is in the very front of the room, prime seating in front of the TV, and it has a reserved sign on it. He plucks the reserve sign off of the couch seating and goes, this table is for y'all now. And I go, what? And I was like, wait a second, you guys, I think he knows I'm a niche internet micro influencer because now he's sitting us down in this front row seat. He must know I'm on the Burt Show, and that's why he just removed this reserve sign. Like, he's kicking out whoever reserved this seating so we can sit here and enjoy whatever game was on. I didn't care. I just wanted like a place to sit.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like as we're enjoying our meal, my best friend, or not our meal, we're enjoying our cocktails. She looks over to the table to the right of us and she goes, Abby, I think that's a Real Housewife. And I'm like, no, like there's no way. I'm like, well, it is the St. Regis and this is kind of like the place you would think you might see a Real Housewife. And I kind of look to the right and I'm like, I think you're right. I think that is a Real Housewife. And then I go, wait, no, that's not NeNe Leakes. Because how I remember NeNe Leakes is with that pixie cut. She had like that bright blonde hair. I picture her as Glee NeNe Leakes with the short hair. And so I'm like, well, why don't we pull her up on Instagram and see if that's her? So then she pulls up NeNe Leakes' Instagram and sure enough, she's got the same blonde wig on. And I'm like, oh my God, I think that's NeNe Leakes. And so I'm sitting here, I'm like, not only did we get front row seating at the St. Regis and we got to steal somebody's reserve seating, but they put us at the table next to Real Housewives superstar NeNe Leakes. And all I got to say is I know my head is looking a little big these days, but I'm trying to keep it in check for you guys because I think I've reached a new peak of Atlanta superstardom.
Humility is becoming a little harder.
It's a little difficult, but you know, these days we just got to get through the day as we can.
Did you figure out if they reserved the reserve sign or if they removed it because you're on the show?
No, this is just the narrative I'm telling myself.
Okay. You don't ask, right? You just run with it.
Listen, allow me to draw my own conclusions to live in my own delusion.
Okay, we can go with that.
This is how we get through life, Bert.
That's fine. So Mo is deeply regretting the decision he just made.
I just made it, and I don't often regret things, but this one I do deeply regret. And this is about sports, but it's not a sports story, which is kind of becoming my thing, because I think this is a perfect example of how sometime in life, even though we have a gut feeling about something that we really want or we really want to do, and sometime we let outside influences take us to another direction and then you end up regretting it. So this is somewhat of a story just to remind people, man, if you want something, you got to just go for it and you have to just do it. And it's all circles around when the New York Knicks played the Boston Celtics, because I am a huge New York Knicks fan. I'm just a huge New York fan, period. And my best friend is a huge Boston Celtics fan. And so we've had this friendly rivalry for 20 years now, 20 plus years that we've known each other. And if you know anything about the New York Knicks versus the Boston Celtics rivalry, the New York Knicks never win. When I say never, I mean never. Like in my entire lifetime, there might have been once or twice, if I can even remember that. So going into this series, I asked them, you know, maybe for this year, because I felt like the Knicks had a really strong chance of this actually being the year that they finally got over this hump with the Boston Celtics. And I was all in. I called him. I called my father. I called my uncle, who are all diehard Knicks fans. And I said, I think these are one of those times in life when you have to pay for an experience that we will remember for the rest of our lives. And each of them told me I was a fool. They were like, that's going to be a waste of money. Why would we travel to Boston to watch the Knicks lose? Why would we travel to New York to watch the Knicks lose? And I let them talk me out of it. And at the time, the tickets were expensive, but they were affordable, because at that time, no one believed that the Knicks actually had a chance. Right. But I had a gut feeling, and I said it online, and people were in the comments saying there's another delusional Knicks fan. And I have a friend, and the difference between us is he will spend a lot of money on materialistic things. I won't. I'll spend a lot of money on experiences. Mm-hmm. And we're very different in that regard. Like, he just won't do it. And I let him talk me out of it. I let everyone talk me out of it. And it ended up being the series where the Knicks finally, finally got over the hump. The tickets after I purchased them went up so high that the cheapest ticket in the arena was $847.
Whoa. What?
That was in the nosebleeds. So everything underneath that was $1,500, $2,500, $20,000, $30,000. It was the most expensive game of all time in the history of the Knicks franchise. And we would have all have been there to celebrate this moment, in this moment, for much, much cheaper if I just followed my gut.
Oh.
And I'm so mad because I didn't want to go by myself. But then I was like, why did I let that stop me?
Yeah.
We do that so often in life. And I was like, I really wish I just would have went on my own. But I promised myself, because I made that mistake, when, I'm not going to say if, when the New York Knicks make it to the finals this year for the first time in over 20 years or since 73, they got a chance to win it.
Yes.
I'm going, man.
Yeah, treat yourself.
I'm going. You got it. It's by myself.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This might totally and completely ruin the rest of the show, though.
Oh, God. Damn. There's 2 hours left.
Why wouldn't we do this at the end?
Let's wait till 9:38.
We really need something coming up after the entertainment.
Okay.
All right. So I get this message yesterday from a Burt Show listener. And the Burt Show listener says, hey, Burt, have you asked ChatGPT this prompt? I did this activity at my event last night, and it was groundbreaking, and I think you should try it with the show cast. Here's the prompt to ask. With everything you know about me, tell me an uncomfortable truth I need to know and be brutally honest.
Wow.
Oh, nah.
She then writes, then after it responds, ask it to go deeper.
Oh, come on.
For even more information. And just know, and now she writes in capital letters, you will be in a puddle of tears.
Like ChatGPT cutting.
Oh, come on.
Roast me.
It's only Wednesday.
It's not even a roast. I think it like looks at every, it pulls from all over the internet of who you are personality-wise and will start tapping on all of those nerves, man.
I feel like this is a little unfair because as far as I can tell, I'm the only one that genuinely talks to ChatGPT and gives it its like information to where if you guys are just logging in for the first time, it's not going to be able to give you those deep cut answers. It's going to start pulling out this childhood trauma for me.
It can also search the internet, I imagine, for comments that other people have left about you and probably add to telling you about yourself, which... Yeah, I'm afraid of this. Yeah. I'm not as good as I thought I was.
So am I, which is why I want to try it. But depending on what it's going to say, it could ruin us for the rest of the show.
I'm going to have this looming over me during Eva's. This is the kind of anxiety I want to have.
Well, because I'm suggesting it, I'll do it first.
Okay.
You guys can hear my reading, and if it cuts me at a soulful level, then you guys can back out.
You're already crying. You got that sty in the eye.
I know, right?
Tears are rolling down your face at 6 a.m.
I'm just nervous that it's going to like pull things from, you know, my past relationships and make comments about other people. Then I would have to like edit on the fly because I don't want to do that to other people. So I'm a little nervous about it.
What are you most nervous about it poking at you for?
Oh my God, there's so much. I mean, I talk about so much and I post so many vulnerabilities. It could be anything. It could be any one of my insecurities. It could be, the one that I'm more nervous about than anything else is my past relationships and breakups and it making statements about me that would be reflective of the people that I dated that would hurt and that... Mm. Then I'd have to edit it as we go on the fly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't think we should be editing it. I think we should give the raw, real deal from ChatGPT.
You know what's funny about this is they say that anytime you say something about yourself that you believe that the universe hears you and will challenge you sometime. And I just told somebody that I've gotten to this place in my life where I'm like at peace and I'm unbothered and I love where I'm at. And this couldn't be a bigger challenge.
You picked the wrong job, bro.
Oh, I sure did.
Right after.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby.
Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I'm going to give the parental warning here for some adult content because we're going to be talking about Harvey Weinstein because he is saying that he was wrongfully convicted in a new rare interview from prison with Candace Owens that was released yesterday. I feel like she has been covering everything from the Blake Lively trial to Harvey Weinstein. The range is interesting.
I have my celebrities confused. I thought this dude took his own life in jail. Who am I thinking of?
Epstein.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I get the creepers mixed up.
Yeah, they're all creepers. They're in the same mental box. But Harvey Weinstein is currently facing a retrial on rape and criminal sexual charges. And he recently gave an interview with Candace Owens, like I said, yesterday, where he says that he feels like he was wrongfully convicted.
I believe women should be heard, but I'm wrongfully convicted. You know what I mean? And right now, I'm not convicted. I'm on a retrial. An appeal overturned my conviction, but justice demands a clear, honest look at each case. And I am here for fairness and the truth. You know what I mean? You know, I made mistakes. There's no question about it. I hurt my family. I hurt my friends. I cheated on my wife. And that was a mistake, you know, a terrible mistake. And I apologize to friends, family, and all the innocent people who inadvertently I hurt, and especially to the Messick family, Jill Messick and her family. But I did not commit these crimes. I swear that before God and the people watching now and on my family. I'm wrongfully accused.
Well, my man, I don't think you're going to get in front of God.
Somebody.
But what an interesting, unique take that a guy in jail that has been convicted says that he's innocent. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Huh. You've never heard this story before.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's very rare.
There's just like so much evidence from women who've spoken out that it's just kind of like, at what point do you just look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm a delusional human being? And also, I don't know if you've seen photos of Harvey somewhat recently because he's been in and out of the hospital. He's been dealing with some health issues. I'm like, my guy, you got bigger issues. Like, you're hanging on by a thread here, body-wise. Like, you can fight for your innocence all day long, but at the same time, like, how much longer you got here? Like, I think somebody's calling him, but I don't know if it's God.
I completely agree with you as far as when do you look into a mirror and see yourself and have accountability for something, but in his defense, those mirrors in prison, they're not the best.
It's not like a house of mirrors where it makes you look thinner.
Yeah, you don't have all the light and the makeup. Yeah, now you already have
one. You see the bags under your eyes. It ain't cute. Well, I'm going to do a hard pivot here because that was a pretty dark story, but Gwyneth Paltrow is responding to some backlash over this controversial candle she's released that's $75 that is quite literally labeled as, this smells like my insert women's parts name here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought that it was a joke when she first released it, but it like crashed the website. Like people were on their hands and knees trying to get this candle. And she said that the way that this idea came about for this candle actually did start out as a joke.
We were messing around with different scents one day and I smelled something and I was like, oh, that smells like, you know, I was joking. And then he was like, oh, we should make that a candle and put it on the site. And I thought he was kidding. And I was like, yeah, definitely. That sounds like a winner right there. And then all of a sudden, it was literally on the website. And then we broke the internet again. And then it took us a long time to live that one down. But I kept it on the site because there is an aspect to women's sexuality that I think we're socialized to feel a lot of shame. And I sort of loved this kind of punk rock idea. We are beautiful and we are awesome and go yourself.
I feel like this is one of those business ideas that only a rich and famous person could pull off. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm putting out a candle that says, this smells like my lady bits, ain't nobody buying that. They're like, we don't want that.
We all sit.
All right, her fans aren't sure how to feel after finding out she left fan gifts behind to be thrown out. I'm going to tell you about the conflict in the Gracie Abrams fandom on your next E-Buzz and the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.